have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Much pain, doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new start. Change my heart and my spirit, be renewed.
Oh yeah.
Lord, I need a healing touch from you. Feels like I'm so deep in sin.
Yeah.
There's no mercy.
And I ask myself the question.
I ask myself,
can he really? Lord,
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Thank you, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The NIV version of the Bible reads as follows, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." In managing our finances, God wants us to trust Him and seek Him for guidance. In order to achieve this, we must first understand that we are simply stewards over our finances. Every dollar that we make really belongs to God, and we must seek Him on how to manage those dollars. In managing our finances, we are stewards. As stewards, we must learn and implement God's principles in managing the money that He has entrusted to us. Fulfilling stewardship responsibilities requires that, number one, that we spend quality time in prayer with God, asking Him for His wisdom with respect to the money that He has entrusted to us. Sometimes we think we should only ask the Lord's guidance on what we perceive to be the big things, but remember, God is concerned even about the little things. Don't hesitate to ask Him for direction in all of your spending decisions. Number two, we must regularly study and meditate on God's Word with regard to finances. There are more than 2,000 references to money in the Bible. As we study, God will reveal to us how we must allow the learning from our readings to manifest in our lives. As Joshua 1 and 8 tells us, "Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Number three, demonstrate your faith in God by trusting God to provide your needs and direct you according to His will. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 33, Jesus tells us, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." Make your commitment today to obtain God's peace in managing your finances and fulfilling your responsibilities as a steward. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. Luther Barnes is an award-winning gospel singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, producer, arranger, and choir director. During his long career, he has led a number of groups and released more than 30 albums. He has performed and recorded with top-shelf gospel greats. An inductee into the International Gospel Music Hall of Fame, Barnes is a senior pastor at the Restoration Worship Center and the director of its choir. He gained early notice as the lead singer of the best-selling gospel quartet group, the Sunset Jubilaires, and later as the director of the Red Bud Gospel Choir. His many recordings include 1990s charting Still Holding On, 1993's Enjoying Jesus, both with the Sunset Jubilaires, 1998's God's Promise with the Red Bud Gospel Choir, and 2002, his solo project, Come Fly With Me, and 2016's The Favor of God, his debut with the Restoration Worship Center Gospel Choir. Barnes was born in North Carolina in 1954, one of four sons of the later pastor and gospel musician Bishop F.C. Barnes, himself a gospel musician known for his 1983 single, The Rough Side of the Mountain. The younger Barnes attended the Nash Rocky Mount school system and began performing professionally at the age of 9 when he joined a group founded by his father called the Barnes Juniors. Other members of the group included Luther's brothers and uncles. After graduating from high school, he became the lead singer of the successful gospel quartet, the Sunset Jubilaires, who went on to score a long string of gospel hits, beginning with their debut in 1983, God Gave Us All He Had. Tim Whitson and the Heirs of Harmony. They've been singing continuously since the year 1992. The heart-wrenching, soul-stirring vocals of this multi-talented singing group are like fine-tuned instruments. They have toured the United States extensively, sharing the platform with gospel greats such as Pastor Shirley Caesar, Juanita Bynum, Donnie McClurkin, Fred Hammond, and the Mighty Clouds of Joy, among many others. The Heirs of Harmony have also been blessed to share their brand of gospel with secular artists such as Bobby Blue Bland, Denise LaSalle, Betty Wright, Noble Moore, Bobby Womack, and Shirley Murdoch. Whether they are giving a performance of a mainstream audience or ministering in a local church, their presence cannot be denied. They are accomplished singers and songwriters from all walks of life. Tremaine Hawkins was born Tremaine Davis in San Francisco and raised in Berkeley, California. Tremaine Hawkins is the granddaughter of Bishop E.E. Cleveland, one of the founders of the Church of God in Christ. She got her start as a teenager in 1968 performing with the Edwin Hawkins Singers during the homemade recording session that produced the crossover smash, Oh Happy Day, the biggest selling gospel single to date. In the early 1970s, she married Walter Hawkins, Edwin's brother, who went on to lead the Love Center Ministries. There, she sang lead soprano with her husband's Love Center Choir and appeared on the Love Alive album and recorded Sunday sessions featuring her husband's sermon, Edwin on piano and the Hawkins lead vocals. It is a follow-up to Love Alive 2. They were both bestsellers. Hawkins began her solo recording career in the mid-1980s. As a solo artist, she drew from a variety of genres, and her albums demonstrate that she is as much at home shouting traditional tunes as she is belting out blues, crooning silky smooth soul numbers, or even doing hard-driving urban funk. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, All Things, Kirk Franklin. 9, The Promise, Mississippi Masquire. 8, I Will Wait, Bree Barbano. 7, Reminder, J.J. Harrison and Dion Kipping. 6, Tap Into It, Renee Spearman and Kim Burrell. 5, Trusting God, James Fortune and Monica. 4, Speak Your Name, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. 3, You Kept Me, Marvin Sapp. 2, Only One Night Though, Ty Tribbett. And our new number one song comes from Damon Little and Angie Stone, No Stresses. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
This opportunity. We thank God for the chance to be able to share a word with you. To those of you that are on social media, we do apologize to you. We have limited access to the internet, so we have to utilize and make work what we have available. But nonetheless, we greet you in the joyous name of Jesus Christ. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr., and I'm going to take a minute or two to encourage your heart. We're going to use the entire month of January as I move forward to encourage your heart. Then to my ministerial staff, we'll get back to business as usual in February. So you're going to be looking at my little wonderful face for the next however long we got left in this month. Amen. And if it's bothering you, just kind of close your eyes and just listen to the voice. Amen. Let's move forward. Today, I do believe we're going to, I started something with you on in our Bible study. And it had to do really with finishing strong. But we're not going to talk about finishing strong. This is sort of kind of a part two to what we had put together as I try to pull my glasses out here. And you've heard the scriptures out of Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. I'll get to those a little bit later, but I'm going to focus on James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 out of the NIV. Mother Miles, thank you so much for reading for us that the rest of us may be able to know where we are going. But it says this from the NIV, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. For just a few minutes, I want to go with the subject. Hang in there. It's going to get better. Hang in there. It's going to get better. Let's pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word, which always brings light. God, we know that your word is light, life, love, and all that we will ever need. And so, God, as we delve into your word today, as we take the time to hear what thus saith thee in thy word, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits. Let us receive what you have for us, God. Give us this opportunity to digest the roots of your word, Father God, that they may grow up in us, help to mature us and bring us to the place that you want us to be. As ambassadors of your kingdom, God, we need instruction. We need a word from you. We need to hear from you. And so, God, we're trusting you to share all that's needed and or necessary. We stop, bind, and block every faction of the enemy that comes to try to distract, to disturb, to disrupt, to cause us to go on pause or miss out on what you're trying to say. Angels of the Lord that have been assigned to us that are in this place, go up and down and to and fro throughout the entire sanctuary. Go through the airwaves, over the radio, and out there in social media, wherever this is being heard. And stop every distraction of the enemy that the people may be able to receive. God, we bless you for what you're about to do. It's in the mighty master's name of Jesus we do pray. Amen and amen. Normally I would use my glasses because I normally use my computer, but today my computer decides it wanted to take the day off. So I gave it the day off and we reverted back to the paper formation. So if it looks like I'm squinting, get past it. Just pray for your pastor. Let's move forward. Anyway, I do thank God for each and every one of you being here. Today, we want to take a moment as we've gathered in the presence of the Lord to reflect on another biblical concept. We talked last week about the importance of keeping your commitment. Now, today, I want to talk about the biblical concept of perseverance and how it is able and capable of strengthening your faith in the midst of trials, troubles, tribulations. And let me ask this question. How many people have some type of trial, trouble, or tribulation that they're dealing with? I'm going to show you something. See, all those that think that they're trial-free, trouble-free, they ain't going through nothing, Paul, I'll talk about that scripture a little bit later. Okay, Holy Ghost, let me hold that for a minute. If you're that type of person, then apparently you better start checking your faith, because if the enemy ain't on your tracks, there's something wrong. See, if you're doing something right in God, if you're doing something that's pleasing in the sight of the Lord, rest assured there's a devil out there that does not like what you're doing. It's going to find every way, shape, form, and or fashion to try to disturb and distract you. That's his job. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the enemy comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you've got to recognize who better than the people of God. Satan hates us, does not like us, loathes us, despises us, and will do any and every little dirty trick to try to pull us down, discredit us and put us in a position where we do not shine like the Lord wants us to shine. And we're going to delve into God's word as we open our hearts, our minds to the message. We're going to learn something about endurance, and we're going to learn something about hope, a hope that God has made available to us from eternity past. Now, I do want to take a moment to talk about the nature of trials in particular, as I encourage your heart to hang in there. Now, there are some of us who feel like trials, troubles, tribulations, persecutions, setbacks, and other negative events have no place in our spiritual growth, when the truth of the matter is that all we may endure or go through is designed to help us grow through and mature in Christ to the point that we become teachers, we become trainers, and we become encouragers to those who may be experiencing the very things that we have gone through. Now, James in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he begins to challenge us to consider it pure joy when in the face of trials. Now, this sounds counterintuitive. This sounds a little crazy. It sounds sort of off-kilter. As trials, we know, often bring pain. They bring heartache. They bring suffering. They bring uncertainty. They bring instability. However, the Word of God encourages us to view these challenges through a different kind of lens, a lens that shows us what real faith, pure faith, looks like, a lens that will help us to know what it means to endure, a lens that helps us to understand why it's important to learn how to persevere. Now, we've got to come to grips with the facts that trials come in various shapes, forms, and fashions. For some, it may be physical. For others, it may be emotional. Some may have to deal with relational aspects, as they can even have some spiritual connotation. And what I mean by that is you can get hooked up with the wrong person at the right time, and you might have been on track with God, but because of that wrong person at the right time, that person has the propensity to pull you off track. The Bible tells us not to have filthy corruption, not to have filthy communication. Let me get this right. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Not to have corrupted communications with others. And all that's simply saying is if you're here and you're trying to be with somebody that's here, I'm sorry, on the lower level, the person down here, 90% chance will begin to draw you away. Oh, no, I'm strong enough. I can handle this. Well, that's what you thought in the beginning. When you first started out, you was in love with God. You was on fire for God. Nobody could stop your praise. Nobody could stop your worship. Nobody could beat you giving. Nobody could even beat you in dancing. And then all of a sudden, he showed up. And then he says, we ain't got to be in church every Sunday. And he began to show you some different things. And little by little, you began to get drawn away from being in the presence of Almighty God. Now, I know I got people out there, and I can hear your spirit saying, oh, no, I'm not going to never let nobody draw me away from God. I love him too much. I'm not going to hell. That's not your intention. But you got to know who it is you're dealing with. You can't fight something you can't see. And when a seducing spirit comes your way to distract you and pull you away from God, you don't notice it until you find yourself in the middle of nowhere and trying to figure out that little Deborah Cox song, how did we get here? Think about that for a minute. Some people may turn around and have to deal with what I call the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of relationship, where they turn around and, you know, this guy or this girl puts on this fantastic performance and makes you think that they're in love with God, this, that, and the other, and then the minute they get you, boom, they change and turn into something altogether different. I'll leave that alone for now. There are people who may be dealing with illnesses, people who deal with loss, people who deal with persecution, people who find themselves doubting more than they ever have in their life. Regardless of the nature, we have to realize that trials are a part of our human experience, and they come to test every core of our faith. In every one of these instances, it becomes inevitable that our faith must first be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as sure as we are physically born into this earth realm, we are going to experience setbacks. We're going to go through persecutions. We're going to have to deal with afflictions. We have to deal with tragedies. We're going to have to deal with calamities. We're going to deal with difficulties. You're going to deal with hard times and other trials of life that may create a negative effect in our day-to-day living. Those living outside of Christ, living outside the ark of safety in God's redemption plan, I know sometimes you feel like there's no hope. You feel like there's no end to this madness. You seem like you're at the end of your rope. It seems like all hope is lost and you have nowhere to go. I've got good news for you. You can come into the ark of safety. God's arms are wide open waiting to receive you and to bring you in. And I've got some even better news for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. Those who have received and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you have reason to be joyful in the midst of whatever you may be facing. I've got to remind you of what one Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, when he tells us to not be surprised concerning the fiery trials, which is to try us as though some strange thing has happened to us. But I like what Peter does when he gets to verse 13 in that fourth chapter. He says, but rejoice in as much as you are participating in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Think about this. Peter's letting us know that if we are insulted because of the name of Jesus, if we're persecuted because of the name of Jesus, if we are harassed because of the name of Jesus, if people talk about us because of the name of Jesus, if people put us down because of the name of Jesus, consider this, you are blessed. And this is why verse 15 tells us that the Spirit and the glory of God is resting upon you. Thank you for that, Mother Miles. Think about that. People running around talking about poor me. Nobody knows the trouble I see and all this madness. You better understand something. If the enemy is messing with you, it's because you are a threat to him. He don't mess with anybody that's not a threat. He doesn't. Why should he bother something he's already got? Think about that. If you ain't bothering me, why should I bother you? But when you start upsetting my and disturbing my stratosphere, start upsetting and disturbing my kingdom, now I got to do something about it. And that's the mindset of the enemy. Let me get back to the scripture. Verse 15 continues to say, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. Ah, listen, meddlers. Let's stop right there for a second. I'm going to come back to this. No, I'm going to do this right now. Meddlers. Get out of other people's business. You got 6 months to mind your business and 6 months to stay out of mine. 6 months to mind your business and 6 months of my business is my business. You can't handle my business. My business is way too complicated for you. Think about looking at life in that perspective. So now, as Peter keeps on telling us, however, in verse 16 he says, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Verse 19, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit, there's that word commit again, y'all, to commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. There are those of us who are under impressions. that because we're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and running for our life, that we're never going to endure such atrocities in life, that that's exactly where you're making your mistake. Let me throw something else at you as I continue to get you to hang in there, because Apostle Paul reminded Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, where he said, yea, and all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. Let me say that again. You got to get this in your mind, because here's what's going on, and I'm going to take a minute to explain it. He says, yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. I don't know if you've ever seen gold in its raw state. When raw gold comes out of the earth realm, it has to be transitioned from that state into a refined and a purified state. And the only way to do that is with fire. So you put the gold in this fire, and you put it in, and you pull it out every now and then to see what it looks like. What's happening in the fire is that fire is burning off the slag. It's burning off the dross. It's burning off all the unneeded, unnecessary, and unwanted materials, so that when you finally do pull it out of that fire, there's nothing left but just pure gold. You're being tried in the fire. God's allowing these fires of life to come upon you so that you can come out as pure gold. There is a purpose to persevere. There's a purpose. Jesus himself told his disciples in the gospel according to John chapter 15 verses 18 through 20 that since the world hated him, the world also is going to despise you because of me. Understand, beloved, that you were simply handpicked by God, and because you are handpicked by God, the world is going to pick on you, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. So you a Christian, huh? I thought the Bible says this, when he slap you on the right cheek, that you turn the other cheek. Hit me if you want to. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, but the collar comes off. Don't get stupid. That's just a warning. But the truth of the matter is, the Christian way to handle it is to give them an answer that ministers grace to the hearer. That's the actual right way to handle it. Sometimes you may find yourself in a situation where you're just going to have to deal with that individual on the level that they're on. But you do not come out of character when you do it. Let me move on, because y'all going to be asking me about that later. There is a purpose to persevere. There's a purpose to hanging on. There's a purpose why you want to stay centered, rooted, and grounded in Christ. James takes the time to teach us that the testing of our faith will produce perseverance. Every time we face trials, our faith is put to the test, and it's through perseverance that our faith is strengthened. Our faith is matured. Our faith is nurtured. We go through what's called the pruning process when we're going through these particular trials, troubles, and tribulations. There are stuff that needs to be trimmed off of us. Now, some of us say, well, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a murderer. I don't steal. I don't covet. I don't do this. Yet your attitude stinks. Yeah, I said it. Your attitude stinks. If you want your father's eyes, your father's heart, your father's mind, you're going to have to get rid of a lot of things that pertain to you. Some of us think this is about us. It ain't about you, boo. It's all about him. It's about his kingdom. That's what it's all about. And as I said, just as gold is refined in the fire, we grow stronger. We learn to endure trials. We have the unwavering trust that comes through and from God when we put our trust in God. Perseverance is not about enduring suffering. It really is about growing in faith. It's about growing in character. It's about growing in hope. It's about clinging to the promises that God has laid out, trusting him with all our heart, not leaning to our own understanding, knowing that the sovereignty of God is going to be there to help us even in the most bleak circumstances. Once again, Paul reminds us in Romans 5, verses 3 through 4, he says, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I'm getting ready to close in just a few minutes. Y'all thought I was going to be all day, didn't you? I got to pull to your remembrance the example of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on the face of the earth, when he endured unimaginable suffering, unimaginable humiliation, and unimaginable rejection, yet he remained obedient to the Father's will. I can't help but go back to the Garden of Gethsemane when the weight of the world was on your Lord and my Lord's shoulder as he made his way to that particular place of prayer and fell down and looked toward heaven and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We have to have an attitude of surrender, an attitude that says, God, whatever it's going to take, I'm willing to go the distance. Whatever I need to do, I know you're going to see me through. I may go through the fire, but I know it will not burn me. I may go through the flood, but it will not drown me. Whatever I need to pay attention to, God, I know you're going to put me in that particular position. And though Jesus, in his unwavering perseverance, continued forward, we know the fact that they spit on your Lord and my Lord. They slapped him. They ripped hairs out of his beard. Even worse, they brought him into the court of one Caesar, and decided to try him there. When they could find nothing, Pilate turns around and lets him go and says, I find no fault in this man. You take care of him yourself. Jesus' own people ordered him to be whipped profusely. And we can't handle a couple of simple little things in life. Because a family member gets on your last nerve. Because a coworker says something that you don't like. I got to say this, and I can't remember who said it, and I'll give it credit to the proper author when I find out. Somebody, a preacher once said, isn't it amazing that we can go to work and our boss can cuss us out and we'll come back the next day? But in church, somebody will say the wrong thing to us at the right time, and what's the first thing we want to do? We want to leave that ministry. I'm trying to make you think. I'm just trying to make you think. Why are we like this? I don't understand it. You know you're going to go through these trials and these tribulations. You know you're going to, but you got to hang in there. God's got something good for you. See, the person that knows how to hang in there will come somewhere down the line, understand that God is working some things out for us. Here it is right here in the ultimate. We have to recognize the very fact that everything, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. So in closing, I'm simply going to say, in the midst of your trials, you're called to persevere with joy according to James, knowing that God is at work in and through every situation and circumstance that you are dealing with. We're called to fix our eyes on Jesus, who truly is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're called to draw strength from his examples as we endure the hardships of life that we have to go through. We have to take the words of encouragement, as you heard earlier from the book of Isaiah chapter 40 verses 28 to 31, where the writer turned around and said, and God is talking to Jacob in this, as Jacob is complaining because of what they're going through. He turned around and says, has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Look at what God does for that person that wants to hang in there. He's going to give power to the faint. It don't matter if you're on your last leg or if you're on your last breath. If God needs you, he's going to sustain you. It says also in verse 20, and to them that have no might, he increased its strength. How many know that the joy of the Lord becomes your strength when you're going through your worst time, when you're facing your biggest trial, when you're going through, when your kids are on drugs and your husband is drunk and your wife is out there messing with every man she could find? That's just small stuff right there. You can work through that. But when you're dealing with cancer, when you're dealing with lupus, when you're dealing with AIDS, when you're dealing with a brain disease, now you have to lean on the everlasting arms of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost, because there's no place else you can go except to God. I like a song we used to sing back in the day. Makes no difference what the problem. I can go to God in prayer. I don't know about you, but it's a good thing to know that I can go boldly to the throne of grace, that I may be able to obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. I found out that when I need some peace, he becomes my Jehovah Shammah. When I need some love, I love the fact that he becomes all that I'm in need of. When I need deliverance or healing, I can turn to Jehovah Rapha and he'll bring me out. When I am in need of finances or a little assistance, I thank you that Jehovah Rapha, excuse me, I got that one already, that's healing. Jehovah, somebody help me out here. I got it. Don't help me. Jehovah Jireh, I got it. It took a moment to bring him to the surface. He's right there to help us. We've got to understand, as the writer of Isaiah says, even the youth shall faint and become weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. That's letting us know in our own human strength, we cannot do this by ourselves. But here's the scripture that I want to close on. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that hope in the Lord, they that trust in the Lord, they that have confident expectation in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. Now stop and think about what an eagle does. An eagle does not flap his wings and consistently flap his wings. An eagle soars, he gets to a certain height, and when that eagle gets to that certain height, the eagle begins to soar. He's no longer in the midst of a storm. The eagle is above the storm. You are eagles, and God is trying to push you above the storm, but you got to hang in there. You got to understand that you're going to mount up on wings like eagles. There'll be times when you're going to want to run on to see what the end's going to be. You ain't got time to look to the left, and you ain't got time to look to the right. All you can do is stay focused and keep your eyes on the prize. Know that he's going to bring you out. You shall not be weary. You shall walk, and you will not faint. As you navigate the tragedies and challenges of life, remember that your perseverance does have purpose. It's refining us. It's shaping our character. It's drawing us closer to God. So please, please, do not lose heart. I know it seems difficult. It seems hard. It seems like you can't quite get through. Things are not happening exactly the way you want them to. But hang in there. Remain steadfast and unmovable, continually to always abound in the work of the Lord. And even if God doesn't bring you out, you've got to say like the three Hebrew boys said, I will not bow the knee to that situation or them circumstances. And let me close with this one last thing, and I promise you, I'm going to give up. That's the second one, right? Okay, let me close with this real quick. You got to understand, anything you're going through, if it has a name, it has a knee. And it must bow. What are you going through? If it's got a name, it's got a knee. It must bow. As long as you're going to feed it, it's going to control and dominate you. But it's when you decide to cut it down to size, to lop off its head, you got to say, like David said, who is this filthy Philistine that defies the name of our God? Think about that. Hang in there. It's going to get better. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. If there's someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins, very quickly, I'm going to help you understand something. There are three things I want you to know, and I pray that you're listening very closely, whoever you are, wherever you are. A, number one, I call it the ABCs of salvation, not to salvation, of salvation. If you can, A, acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, God is waiting to receive and to accept you as his very own. All God wants from you is a relationship with you. Why is that so difficult? Some of you out there with boyfriends and girlfriends and eventual husbands and wives, all that man wanted from you, woman, when he approached you was a relationship with you. That's why he asked you to marry him. Think about that. All God wants is a relationship with you. So if you can acknowledge that outside of him, you have no hope. If you can acknowledge that you need a Savior, God wants to save you. If you believe that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for your sins, my friend, you are already on the right track to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and to become part of the family of God. And then one last thing you have to do. See, if you got $1 million, and I hope you're not that crazy to do this, but most of you probably will, you're going to let somebody know that you're rich. Does that make sense? No? Yes? I'm talking to the sanctuary now. You want to let somebody, hey, I just won the lottery. I hope if you play the lottery, don't tell me nothing. If you win, just give God 10. I don't want to know what your personal business. That's between you and God, okay? I'm going to say that up front, you know. But the bottom line is this. You, in confession, you got to let somebody know that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. And don't just confess him as Lord of your life. Live a life that represents the kingdom to which you have now become part of. I used to pray a simple prayer with a lot of people. There are some of you that may not know how to pray. You just simply say, Lord Jesus, I can acknowledge that God is your Father. I acknowledge the fact that you died for me. Now I ask that you make me one of your children. Now I ask that you save me. It's real simple. It is your faith that gets you to that place. And if you've made a confession and made up in your mind that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, I encourage you to tell somebody starting today. You're not going to change overnight. You're not going to change in the next hour. There are some things you're going to have to work your way through. But what I'm trying to make you understand is that if you allow God to work with you and work through you, whatever it is that you have to overcome, you shall overcome. You are more than conqueror through Christ Jesus, the one who loved you. You are a conqueror. You're an overcomer. God has placed victory within your spirit. And now it's time for you to do what he wants you to do. And that is live for him. Represent him. For those of you that have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. This world is no longer your home. I want to encourage you to let this world go with all of its materialism. Matthew 6:33 says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, all these things that you're seeking after will be added to you. Trust God is all I'm trying to tell you. From this moment on, learn how to trust God. And trust me, I've been saved for 46, going on 47 years. March 3rd, it'll be 47 years of salvation. I'm still a student of his word. I'm still a student of the life that he wants me to live. Ain't nobody around here graduated. I don't care how many PhDs they got. I don't care how many doctorates they got. I don't care how many masters they got. Don't let them fool you. It's time to stop playing that game. Let it all go. One day at a time, one step at a time, and trust God with each point and each person, or each process, not each person, but each process. Let him develop you. You've got to develop faith that endures against all odds. That's what you're going to need to do if you want to run this race with the patience that the Word talks about. We pray that you've gotten something out of the Word. Don't forget our announcements. This Wednesday, you can join us for our Bible study at 7 p.m. We have prayer first, and I always encourage people to come to prayer, because the one thing I'm noticing, nobody wants to pray anymore. Everybody wants a heebie-jeebie message where you can buck and shout and run. We got folk chasing after all kinds of stuff. Folk is looking for a word from the Lord all the time, thinking that the prophet has a word. That's just not true. The word is right before you. God speaks to you on a day-to-day basis. Take a moment to listen to that still small voice and let him talk to you. Come join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. And then men, come join us every Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock for our men's fellowship. Prayer service and fellowship is the hardest people in the world to get to come to church and to get to do anything is men. Now, there are some churches that are very, very prosperous when it comes to the brothers. But then there are those churches that are still struggling. Brothers, stop running. How are you going to be a leader if you're not communicating with the commander? Makes sense, right? Amen. Let's leave that alone. All right, and then, of course, we need you to begin praying for Sister Richard and myself as we prepare to go to Cape Town, South Africa in March. Right now, for this week, we want you to pray for God's safety for us as we move forward, safety for the team. We don't know what's going to happen or even what we're going to walk into, but we just know that God can and will protect us. Also, for those of you that are listening to me that are part of Power to Stand by way of affiliation, and those of you that desire on the East Coast to become part of the Bridge Network, there is a Bridge Partners call tomorrow. I will be sending information out tonight to each and every one of you so that we can prepare to be on the line to hear what's about to take place. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Brother Leonard, I hope you're ready to take us out of here. You guys have a blessed day. Let me pray this blessing upon you. The peace of God go with you. The joy of God live in you. The power of God work through you. The anointing of God flow through you. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even think. To the only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And God's people said amen, amen, and amen. Have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, we have several ways that you can sow seed. Please go to givelify.com or tithe.ly and look for Power to Stand Outreach Ministry of the Marlboro, Maryland. You may also use Cash App at Power Sign, Power to Stand, or PayPal at PWR2Stand.